You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Genevieve Leopold. She's talking to me from Belgrade. Genevieve, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, Genevieve, let's talk about your work, but also you're often based in the UK. Why are you in Belgrade now or working in Belgrade? I'd love to know a little more about that.
Well, I moved here in 2014 I was in London prior to that, and I was working in a job as well as practicing my art, and I made the decision to move to Belgrade to be able to practice my art full-time. And I'm self-taught, so I've kind of seen it as my MA, my kind of giving myself 3 years to really focus on my practice and discover my voice, I suppose, as an artist.
And why Belgrade? I mean, is it less expensive to live there? Why did it make it possible to do that as opposed to England?
Well, I'd come to Belgrade with my husband about 6 months beforehand, and I just fell in love with the city. It was a really quite a profound experience, actually. I've always dreamt of living abroad, but I'd never lived outside of the UK before this. And there was something about Belgrade. And then, for one reason or another, my husband and I decided to leave London. We were renting a flat, and the tenancy came up. And we just said, well, should we just go for a while, just go to Belgrade? And kind of regroup, and then we'll come back to the UK when we're ready. And initially, it was supposed to be 6 months, but we ended up staying for going on 3 years now.
Hmm. And so you fell in love with the city. I mean, I'm just fascinated because I've never been to Belgrade. I've been to Ljubljana, which is a beautiful city, not that far from there. So now you've been here for a while. You're still in love with the city, and if so, can you tell me a little more about why? I've talked to or interviewed other people from there, and there does seem to be also a different take, of course, on the art there than perhaps other parts of Europe. But is there something in particular that's still very endearing to you about the city?
It's something to do with there's a particular pace of life here, which is very really connected to that. There's a value of social space and time, and I think coming from London, where it's so busy, it's an amazing city, London, but it's constantly feeding you with ideas and feeding you with sensory information. And I think there's something about there's a feeling about Belgrade where things are a little slower. There's a different pace of life, and it's an interesting place. It's not beautiful in the classic sense, but it has a quality to it. And I think I was really drawn to that, to the kind of the mixture of different architectural styles. And
so tell me a little bit about your work and how has it changed since you've been there from what you were making before? I know, as you said, this is kind of like your MFA or extended one this time in Belgrade. Has it changed your art, the way you're developing, do you think, to be painting there?
Yeah, it had a really radical effect, actually, on my working practice. Prior to this, I'd been doing figurative work. It was semi-abstraction, but very much focused. There were human forms in it, and it was sort of people in parks, and I was still drawn to similar themes. All my work's quite linked to nature in human environments. So I'm very interested in how nature takes a foothold within cities. So, but prior to coming here, it was really focused on a more figurative expression of that. And here, really tapped into a more abstract way of thinking, perhaps. And so the paintings became very abstract.
So let's talk about that, because it is, I mean, which is why I asked about the city. I know the work, in a sense, explores the city, and it's done that beforehand. So can you tell me a little bit about maybe some of the early works you did when you were in Belgrade, and and how you made those, your process?
When I first arrived, I made a kind of conscious decision to go back to basics. So I started working solely with graphite and pencil. So which is where certainly for me my artistic life started as a child. Really, was with pencil drawing. So I went back to that kind of rebirth in a way, is kind of get rid of any knowledge that I gave of painting and just really went back to form, texture, and started creating these very sort of gestural pieces, exploring moss forms on bricks and kind of broken buildings, and taking inspiration from that and just working in a intuitive way.
So you're looking at this city, I mean, so much in these kind of spaces. I imagine that was such a different experience from London. I mean, as you've said, I mean, because part of this is about experience a different city, and as you said, you know, your work is often about this connection. So you said it made a kind of a radical turn in a sense. Is that still happening in your work in terms of it being more abstract, or are there also other turns that it's taking?
I think the forms, there's something that I think my work is always changing. As you move through life, I think it changes. But some forms, I've found a kind of language within the work that I'm making, which is enabling me to perhaps play with the composition of pieces, but there's now certain movements or brushstrokes or palettes which are taking hold and actually becoming more present. So it's almost the opposite. I'm almost finding a kind of groove in the work, not in a negative way, but a kind of like a record player.
So the MFA is moving along well, then, as you say, it's progressing in terms of you learning, but also evolving. It sounds powerful. I mean, I'm framing it as an MFA because that's how you framed it in terms of going there. But it sounds like it's evolving in a very successful way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving it. I think prior to this, I hadn't taken my artwork as seriously as I do now, and I don't mean that I'm not a very serious person, but I feel really connected to my practice, and it brings me great joy, and I'm always curious. It just keeps growing, and I think that, you know, there's not enough hours in the day to fill, really.
So let's talk about a recent work of yours. I don't know whether that I've looked through a lot of images, and there'll be links to your website, to Golden Green or Organic Forms and a lot of other images. Is there a recent painting that you want to talk about a little bit?
Well, I'm at the moment actually working on a series which I've just started working on, which comes from off. It's actually moving away slightly from those sort of singular forms in space and looking at energy. So the movement across the canvas has changed slightly, and the series that I'm working on are kind of they're kind of coexistent. There's one called Fugue States and one called Desire Paths, and the two themes link to one another, but the movement of forms, it feels like I've introduced movement into the forms, because the previous pieces that I've made have all been fairly static or singular sort of forms that are suspended within space. So these are a bit more dynamic.
So there's more movement in the forms? Is there also, I mean, it sounded like you were saying there's multiple forms, so as opposed to them focusing on a singular form, there are more than one form that are kind of having a dialogue with each other, or no?
Yeah, definitely. That's a really nice way of putting it, actually. I think quite a lot of my influence comes from dance. So this idea of energies which coexist, and matter and energy. So the idea of plants moved by water, or the unseen versus the seen, or the material versus the immaterial. Those dialogues are definitely opening up in the practice at the moment.
And what materials are you using now with your canvases? And I don't know if there's different materials in Belgrade, or you're used to the same materials you always have, but tell me a little bit more about the materials and how they're built, if you want.
Well, I'm still... I've sort of moved back into oil painting. So I, as I was saying earlier, I went back to graphite and started doing monochromatic images, almost finding the language. I think that's where that was sort of taking me. And then I've taken the forms that I discovered through these drawings, and I've started working in oil paints. But I must admit, I tend to, because I exhibit in the UK fairly regularly. So when I go back to the UK, I will pick up materials. So I still tend to use the same palette that I was using in the UK.
And so talking about exhibiting in the UK, I would like to talk about maybe the reaction to some recent work, but is there also a community of artists in Belgrade where you are, or is there exhibits there, or is there a very different kind of community there for artists?
No, I mean, I've had an amazing experience with the art community in Belgrade. When I was initially moving here, I got in touch with an artist called Gordana Zicic, who I believe you've spoken to. She runs the Belgrade Artist in Residence program.
Yes, I've interviewed her, right.
Yeah, and she's a really great connection, actually, because she's very involved in the art scene here. So through her, I've met other artists, and I've had a couple of shows here. So I did a group show with her and some other artists, and then a solo show at the gallery that she curates last year. So it's interesting. What's wonderful and different about the Serbian art scene compared to the British one is the conservatoire style teaching that Serbian artists receive means that they have a really deep understanding of the material properties of art making. So they know about the kind of structure of paints, and they do a lot more building blocks. Whereas I haven't studied art in the UK, but friends of mine, it's more conceptual, sort of idea-driven.
So does that make the conversation different in terms of what they're talking about at let's say, an opening in Britain as opposed to Belgrade? Is there a different conversation happening? I mean, sometimes when I talk to people in different parts of Eastern Europe, it's, for example, there's more of a critique of capitalism and economic structures than there is in the U.S. and perhaps in the U.K. and some parts of Europe. Is there a different conversation, is what I'm asking, at the reception or exhibitions of your work?
Oh, that's interesting, actually. I give the art groups that I'm involved in the U.K. are probably more politically driven. So actually the conversations here tend to be more philosophical and ideas focused within the artists that I've spent time with, and it's possible that it's because the work that I make is more philosophically driven, so naturally that's where I tend to take conversations. I would say the London art scene that I've been involved in is very political, particularly at the moment because of Brexit, and there's a lot of change going on in the UK to do with arts funding, and the focus in education on arts is not good. So, yeah, it is interesting the different kinds of dialogues you get.
So let's talk a little bit of the philosophy before we go. When the philosophy is addressed in Belgrade, or it could be in the UK, but what are the kind of people that you're meeting that are discussing it, and what aspects of the philosophy you know, if you can talk about that. I know your work is often about time and surfaces and bringing attention to that what happens with surfaces. But what are people talking about? That is it about issues of time, or is there other philosophical issues that are being discussed?
I think there's a lot of issues to do with human value in life. I think is a big thing. So, and how we live, the kind of philosophy behind modernity, and the choices that have led us to a kind of capitalist societies, I suppose. Here's this place. Belgrade is a very interesting place because it was under communist regime under Tito, and so capitalism hasn't fully got its grasp here. So there's a different mindset, I think, around things. But it's I think what's precious, what's important. There's some philosophy around consumerism, and a lot of the artists also are interested in sort of shamanic and older kinds of philosophy and spirituality, and myself included. But I'm more interested in Eastern philosophies, if that makes sense.
Interesting. It does make sense. Eastern philosophies as opposed to what? As opposed to shamanic philosophies, which could be, I mean, from the United States, that could be Native Americans here. What are the other kinds of philosophies there? I mean, is shamanic not Eastern there?
I'm sort of more from a personal perspective. The kinds of I'm like very interested in the Alan Watts and Eckhart Tolle and kind of people who look at energy, but not so much the old kind of spirit animals and journeys. Although actually with all of these things there's a crossover, isn't there? I mean, I think essentially all of these spiritual philosophies come from one point, which is this idea of connectedness, whether that's via spirit animals or through ayahuasca or drug LSD or these kind of experiences that people have where they discover a kind of connectedness to the universe and to everything. I think the Eastern philosophies, through meditation practice, you become aware of the immateriality of life at its kind of purest form.
Yeah, that's very well said, you know, and the kind of connectedness that can happen or is pointed to by a number of groups. And I mean, you also mentioned, you know, as well as drugs like ayahuasca or LSD, and I have interviewed, you know, a number of people who've used or been to ayahuasca ceremonies as part of their practice or experience. Is that something that's also talked about in Belgrade? Is there talk about that a lot? Because that's also very interesting, because it's not just a drug experience, but a guided experience often.
Yes. I think there's, I mean, in my experience of being here, I went to a sound bath, which was, I was quite surprised to find that there was a sort of spiritual element to Belgrade in that way, because I hadn't thought of it before. And I have come across, I was in conversation with a guy a while ago, because he was actually running an ayahuasca retreat here in Belgrade. And I've always been interested in spirit, that kind of experience, out-of-body experience or a guided meditation. And I think I've done sound baths before, which is there's no chemical inducement, but the sound, the kind of, you know, 2 hours of lying in rhythmic sound with incense.
Tell me about that, because I don't know what that is. I've never heard of sound baths. That's another kind of altered experience. What is that? What happens there exactly?
Well, it's a group. It's a form of group trance, I suppose. It's not quite a meditation. You're taken on a journey, so there'll be a shamanic leader who guides the group session, and it's, you all lie down, and it's usually two or three or four hours, depending on your who's running it, and it's using Tibetan sound bowls, so there's drums and this kind of really beautiful
but it's a beautiful bell, yeah, vibration that seems to be continuous. But I know that the Tibetan bowls, but so those are struck, and I mean they're used and make that sound and go on for 3 hours. Well, what's happening to you or to the group?
Well, I mean, from personal experience, it was amazing. Actually, it was almost like a journey. It was more than a meditation. It was like lucid dreaming almost. So you go. I don't know. I went somewhere and went on a journey, and my memory of it is very faint, but the feeling I had afterwards was like the sensation of having extremely heightened awareness of everything. So it feels like every part of your body, every sensory expression of your body is really awake. So sound, light, movement, everything was kind of profoundly affected by it.
And people aren't talking during it. Everyone's laying down. There's no other interaction during it. You're laying down for 2 hours, and this is kind of an internal experience. You're not talking with other people at this time.
No. Just the leader of the group is playing the music and chanting and moving, but everyone else is static and in their own journeys.
And what did you take from that particular experience? Was there something you brought out of it, did you think? Or is it hard to articulate that way?
It is a bit difficult to articulate. I think it gave me a feeling that I've carried with me, and it was like loosening up of something, a kind of cleansing process, I suppose, and an awakening. But I don't know
that there was some also change in mind or something, which of course happens also. We hear from ayahuasca and LSD a kind of different way of perceiving the world that's sort of taken with you somehow.
I think it's changed. It changed perception radically for about 3 hours afterwards, and then I think you kind of carry the experience with you, like almost like any experience in life, I suppose. I've spent most of my life trying to discover things from a very young age because I had a very odd upbringing, and I think that affected my. I think partly it was who I am, but also I think it affected my need to discover and to kind of look beneath what exists in front of you.
Well, it's wonderful talking to you about all of this and your home. Before we go, I wanted to ask you what you're reading at the moment, if you wouldn't mind sharing that. It could be a book or anything at all.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm reading a number of different books, actually. I tend to read quite a lot of non-fiction these days. I have just finished a really amazing fiction book by a writer called Siri Hustvedt, and it's a book called The Blazing World, which is about a female artist who creates three male personas to show her work because she feels that she's been denied her right by the art world. And it was fascinating and beautifully written, and I'd highly recommend it. And other than that, I'm reading a book by Sue Gerhardt called The Selfish Society, which is Sue Gerhardt's a child psychologist, and it's about capitalism and consumerism and love, and it's very interesting.
Genevieve, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and work, and wish you well in Belgrade.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been really a real pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.